him. He is only going to live so long, for example. He will only have so much energy available to him in his lifetime. And as we have already seen, his knowledge is limited right off the bat by his own personal experience. All he can possibly know is what he has been exposed to and concerned himself with in his life. And since the individual has to use his resources in order to get happiness, this fact of limitation becomes very, very important to him. He's going to have to produce in order to get the things that bring him happiness, but production is not the goal. It is the means. The use of these resources is only a means to an end. And since these resources are limited, his production must always be very carefully evaluated to try to provide maximum return, to get the greatest amount of happiness possible for whatever expenditure of resources takes place. There is no virtue in work for the sake of work. It is a means to an end. You produce in order to get things to consume, and there is no other reason for it. If you happen to enjoy your work and would do it even if you didn't get paid for it, then recognize that this is not production. It is a consumption value. A consumption value being anything you derive happiness from, something you do for its own sake, for the happiness you get out of it. A production value is anything you undertake for the purpose of providing a consumption value. And so when you enjoy your work, it is really nothing more than a hobby to you, a way of consuming. As we'll talk about a little bit further along, obviously, if you can bring production and consumption as much in line together and have as much in common, so much the better. But for right now, the important point we want to recognize is that the purpose of production is consumption. Production is a means to an end, the use of resources, and since resources are limited, they must be used as efficiently as possible. And there's another word that must be defined in terms of happiness, efficiency. Efficiency is simply the ratio of happiness produced to resources expended. Based upon his own knowledge, the individual will make choices in order to be as efficient as possible, using as few resources as possible and gaining as much happiness as he can from the use of those limited resources. Now, the individual, of course, is bound to recognize somewhere along the line very early in life that his acts have consequences, that causes produce effects. And since he seeks well-being, he wants to provide the consequences that give him that well-being. This means that he has to examine the world around him and attempt to deduce some kind of cause and effect relationships so that he can cause things to happen that will create the kind of things that will give him happiness, that he can get the effects, the consequences he wants. In short, he recognizes that there is something out there called reality, and he is going to have to deal with it in some way in order to get what he wants. And he sees that this reality is immovable, that he cannot simply rearrange it to suit himself. He can cut down a tree, or he can break the wind with a shield, but he cannot change the laws that control the operation of the wind or the growth of trees. So he has to decide whether he's going to use reality as it is and make it work for him, or else ignore it and take the chance of running into reality when he does something that is not in harmony with it. Because reality is there, and if he refuses to recognize it, then he's going to stumble into it, sure as anything, and he'll stub his toe, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to cause discomfort. And so now we come to an age-old argument, whether or not reality is truly objective. Meaning, is reality independent of our perception of it? Does something exist there whether or not we choose to recognize it or perceive it? Well, recognizing, first of all, that perception includes contact by any one of the five physical senses, the first reaction to the question is, who cares? If you never come in contact with something, what difference does it make whether it ever exists or not? If there is a sound that is made in the middle of darkest Africa, a sound that never affects my life in any way whatsoever, then what difference does it make to me if that sound exists independent of my perception of it? On the other hand, of course, if that sound sets into motion a chain reaction which eventually affects my life in some way, then of course I should be greatly concerned about it. Well, of course, the truth of the matter is that reality is objective. It does exist independently of my thoughts, my desires, my wishes.